Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and joining me, as ever, in the hot seat, it's Mr. Merrick Larwood. Hello, Merrick.
Hello there, David. Hello, buddy. Hello, listeners. Goodbye, people who've stopped listening to the podcast.
People who have listened to the wrong podcast by mistake, who are expecting one about painting and decorating that Merrick was advertising last week.
Yes, today I'm going to talk about a film I want to see called Zootropolis.
Zootropolis. It's called Zootopia in America, isn't it?
Because some European, I heard somewhere's got a copyright in Europe for some business.
It's a zoo. It's a zoo in Denmark, isn't it? That's called
So you can't.
Zootopia.
Yeah. Surely
people aren't going to mistake a film for a real zoo.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
And also, it's really good publicity for the zoo.
Yeah.
People are arseholes.
Who knows? Very weird. But anyway, what's this film about?
Right. So there's this city, Zootopia. I can't remember. My memory's got so bad. Oh, there's all different animals in it. Think of an animal.
Yeah, a sloth.
That's in it. That's actually a big. Have you seen a trailer for it?
No.
The sloths are very funny in it.
Oh, good.
All the animals live in this world, and they're different sort of areas, like an ice bit and a sort of jungly bit, and all this business.
Like districts, like Chinatown and posh bit.
Yes. So imagine you take away all the Chinese.
Yeah, and you replace them with sloths.
Well, sort of, but more like a more climate related.
Oh, okay.
Areas.
Okay.
Anyway, that's irrelevant. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But here's the police force. The police force. I mean, the people who become police officers, they're almost always predators.
Right.
But this one bunny rabbit decides she wants to become a police officer as a child, and becomes the very first.
Herbivore.
Yes, herbivore or rabbit to be a police officer, and then she goes. Her boss, who's this bison, played by someone who gives the worst voiceover.
Hang on, a bison isn't a predator.
Not a bison, a big. What are those? Well, maybe not all predators. Anyway, he's played her boss, the head police officer, assigns her rubbish jobs, and then she eventually gets on this case where the problems with the predators are turning back into predators.
Oh dear!
And she has to solve why this is happening.
Okay.
It's a bit like an old-fashioned detective story.
It sounds a bit sort of noir-y.
Yes, it does feel like that. And she teams up with this fox, and they have to find out what's happening to predators. And there's a real undercurrent of. A moral story about racism, whether being racist against predators because they're a certain type of breed. So
right.
That is what I didn't especially like about that. Can't you just make a kids film without having a message the whole time, trying to moralise these children? Let them make their own decisions. They know what's right and wrong. You need to ram down their throats.
I don't think they do know what's right and wrong. I do think you need to teach them. We're
not born with right and wrong, are we? Every single film has got to be some lecture hey guys, don't kill people. Okay. They weren't all like that. Watch It Down, I talked about the last few weeks. Did that really have a moral maybe it did. Anyway, I'd get annoyed when I feel that when films become a little bit preachy, and this was just on the board.
Yeah, overly moralising.
Just on the board of that. It's very funny. It's a film definitely made with adults in mind.
Oh, really?
It operates on two different levels.
Because it's done incredibly well, hasn't it? I mean, it's basically seems to be sort of competing or getting rid of Batman v Superman.
If you're a Guardian reading left-wing parent,
yeah,
and you want to slightly educate your child with these sort of, you know, don't be racist
views. Yeah, yeah, moralising films.
And you want to enjoy the film. I sat there, I went, and there were lots of... I was the only white man by himself. And there's lots of... I was the only man with a child there,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I looked like some weird pedo. But some guy was sitting with just two kids and he was laughing just as much as the kids were. And the kids were getting really into it. I think it's a really great film. It's really good. My one problem is, this is what my friend James Branch said to me the other week, that he'd seen it with his kids. And I completely agree that a lot of the voiceover artists, particularly Idris Elba, who plays the chief police officer,
right,
is rubbish.
Really?
And it was quite interesting watching this after watching Worship Down, which has one of the best voiceover casts.
Mm.
And I said, people, you know, you have John Hurt and Richard Briers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're actually playing the characters. You feel they've really got into the character. Idris Elba, who I think is overrated anyway, does not bring anything. It's almost as if he recorded it on his iPhone and sent it off. He's terrible. He doesn't. It's just him doing it. I'm copying my friend James's point. It's just celebrities being themselves,
right,
rather than playing the character they're trying to be, which is my big problem with this film. But nonetheless, I thought it was really entertaining, a bit preachy. I really enjoyed it. It didn't really stay with me as a kids' film. Didn't really have that magic that some of the Pixar films have.
What was missing, do you think? Just a sort of clarity of story?
I can't put my finger on it. It was all very good. It was obviously, you could tell it was one of those films that felt like it had been through the writer's room several times.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's been a lot of work and time putting together.
It's the kids' films that feel like that, where you go, oh, there's no fat on this at all. They have really worked this out.
All the Pixar ones.
And then the adult ones, you go, that was overlong.
Yeah.
There was so much of that they didn't need. What the hell was all that about?
Maybe because it's the animation and they realise that they've got to...
They have to send really someone away for 2 months just to do that scene.
Yeah.
So they really need to... It needs to earn its place.
Yeah, because it's so
possibly,
much work.
Quite possibly. Whereas just pointing a camera, you know, Michael Shannon.
And not having to deal with actors, yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And if you've got kids, it's really great to know you can go and see a film that you can enjoy... That's going to shut them up.
Eight Marics for shutting kids up. Well, there you go. Zootropolis, or if you're listening from America, Zootopia. And it is not to be confused with the Danish Zoo, which we'll all be going to.
Which is probably very good as well.
It's probably a very good zoo. Do you like zoos? Just on a slight sidebar here. I love zoos, but I also hate them. Like, the big animals depress me in zoos, by and large. You know, big cats, the bears always depress me.
I'm indifferent to it. You're
indifferent to their suffering.
On one of my recordings a couple of days before it comes out,
yeah.
I'm going to go to the zoo for one of my vlogs, to Camden Zoo.
Camden Zoo?
London Zoo.
London Zoo, the one in Regent's Park.
Yeah, it's in Camden, isn't it, really?
It's in Camden, yeah. I walk buddy past London Zoo most weeks, and you get free zoo along the side of it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You get the camels, they're free. They always look happy because, you know, camels got nothing to do. And they don't mind any weather, which is good. But I never see the tiger because it's always hiding.
Some people hate zoos, some people don't.
There you go.
I mean,
there's Marek's message for the week.
That incisive message.
So we have a letter here from James Lazenby, and he says, if David reads this out, I would like an Australian but slightly fey accent, much like Ian Thorpe the swimmer or Guy Pearce in Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and if Marek reads it out, just do your best, mate.
So I've gone off this bloke already.
Hey, you put yourself out there. People are going to feel like they're familiar with you, yeah?
Put your head above the parapet and then people come on, kick it in.
So, well, shall I do it then, if you want?
Yeah, you do it.
What's this? What, have you seen Priscilla Queen in the Desert?
Only clips of it. Years ago, I saw it.
A slightly fey Australian. Okay. Hi, Film Fandango. Long time listener, but have dropped off in the communication stakes. Life got in the way. But I just moved back home to Australia, and on the way, I watched a weird but delightful Australian movie called The Dressmaker, starring Kate Winslet. To help me feel better about my return to my native country, I was wondering if you could tell me what are your favourite Australian movies. I love Muriel's Wedding. I think it is quintessentially Australian. On the surface, a quite frothy and comedic movie, but with a real pathos to it at the same time. Anyway, keep enjoying the films, James.
Keep enjoying the films?
He's got a catchphrase wrong there. I mean, that is unforgivable. Australian films. I like an Australian film. They feel familiar and yet a bit different because they're different people, aren't they?
Like a chocolate bar that's been left out in the sun.
Yeah.
Melted really badly and then reformed something quite different.
Yeah, and then you put a melted chocolate bar in the freezer and then it's, you know, it's a new shape, isn't it? It still tastes all right, but it's like something chemical has gone wrong. It's a bit like that.
So Australians, you're saying...
Yeah. Strictly Ballroom's Australian. That's a phenomenal film.
Mad Max.
Incredible. Crocodile Dundee, and I'm not even joking. Brilliant film.
I really love it.
Absolutely brilliant film.
Is it American? Is it American though?
Well, it's got such an Australian attitude. Paul Hogan has clearly got a lot to do with it. So I think it's probably a co-pro, isn't it? There's that sort of Ausploitation genre that Mad Max is part of, that there's quite a few things. They do mental really well. What's the film I'm trying to think of? I think it's called Outback. It's got Donald Pleasance in it, and it's about a man just gets sort of trapped in a small drunken Australian town.
Oh,
when
we watched ages ago. It's not called that.
It's not called that, is it? Wake in Fright, yeah. But it had another name. It did have an alternate title that was a bit more boring. There's lots of them out there. What's yours?
There's a brilliant hidden gem that Australians know about, which hasn't really come through into, I think, the UK culture so much. It's called Kenny. It's came out in 2006. It's sort of a mockumentary film about this bloke who runs this portable toilet company.
Right.
And he's talking about his job as a portable toilet cleaner. And he's really likeable, happy character. And the bloke who plays it, his name is Shane Jacobson. It's absolutely brilliant. It's shot in America, in the States apparently, but he's Australian, so
right.
I'm going to say it's
an Australian film.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it counts as an Australian. He's Australian. He wrote it. Yes, so go if you can get Kenny. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really, really good. It's a different film. See if you can get hold of that.
Yeah, and Wake in Fright was called Outback in the UK and a few other countries. But that is a haunting piece. Really good. Well, that's it for letters because we're running out of letters. So if you'd like to email us and have your letter read out and start a, you know, vague conversation we do no preparation for, then email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you find any, you know, articles online, then go to Facebook/filmfandango and post them to one another. Or you can just tweet us. Follow us on Twitter, @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed, and @MarekLarwood. And also I should say, I forgot to say this last week, we do all of this for free. So if you've enjoyed the show and would like it to keep going, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and donate any money you can by following the links there. And everyone who has, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, I saw a film in the cinema this week. I went to my new favourite cinema, the Picture House Central.
Mm-hmm.
which is very nice. You get a higher calibre of person in there.
I go to the Pitch House Crouch End, I mean.
Yeah. I went to see a film called Midnight Special.
I've heard good things about this. What's
yes, because you've listened to the Commode and Mayo podcast, haven't you, for research?
I listened to it because I was doing my painting and decorating job.
Okay.
But Commode wasn't on there. It was Sanjeev Bazkar and that Robbie Collins bloke.
Okay. Well, Midnight Special is the next film by writer-director Jeff Nichols, who you may know from Mud, which yes. I still haven't seen, which is the Matthew McConaughey film, and also Take Shelter, which was very well received as well, I believe, in 2011. He's the guy who likes using Michael Shannon a lot, who is he's the new General Zod in Man
He's
of Steel
got a brilliant
and all that.
Face.
But incredible face. He's actually a brilliant actor as
yeah.
well. But he likes Michael Shannon. And I've not seen Mud, but I've heard good things. Is it good? Is Mud good?
I thought it was quite good. I think I gave it 7. Or some people really loved it. I thought it was respectably good, not
You're
especially
right.
groundbreaking. But
okay.
The setting's quite. He sets his things in sort of the mid, in the
sort of it's sort of Texasy sort
yeah,
of
yeah.
Midwesty kind of thing. Yeah, Deep South rather. That is
Deep
not
South,
Midwest.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? Okay, so Midnight Special. It starts at night and through. Radio and news footage, you find out that a young boy that the news knows nothing about has been abducted, apparently, by a man. And the man they know the name of, and he is played by Michael Shannon. And we see Michael Shannon with Joel Edgerton, who we like.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about him in The Gift relatively recently. But they are in a car, and the little boy is in the back reading comics with a torch and is apparently sort of happy this is happening. And it's a bit of a mystery of, like, what's gone on, what's happening. And it very, very quickly transpires he's been abducted from a ranch, which is a sort of cult. So it's they're a sort of alternative religious cult that live on this ranch and never leave. And the boy's been abducted from it. And they're trying to take the boy somewhere, and we don't know where. That is the setup of the film.
Is it a bit like Looper? So feel-wise?
It goes a bit X-Files-y, yes. It goes a lot X-Files-y, in fact. And it slowly trickles out what's actually going on, and then a NSA agent is brought into the mix, played by Adam Driver, who's Kylo Ren in the new Star Wars. He's very good, Adam Driver. He's, you know, he was standout in Girls, and he's just doing good work. But and then Kirsten Dunst is in it as well. But
I've heard really good things about this film.
Yeah, it's basically it's shot like it's incredibly meaningful and deep, and for me it doesn't quite work. Like, the acting is superb, and the shots on these guys are all beautifully composed, and some of it is genuinely tense, but at its heart, this is a chase movie, and it's one of the slowest chase movies I've ever seen. It is so slow as a film. And then it adds in, as you've predicted, a kind of sci-fi supernaturally element into it as well. So it starts out as a mystery and a chase, and the mystery is answered with basically magic, it may as well be. So it's not very satisfying as a mystery, and the chase is incredibly slow. So
you're saying rubbish?
I think it is rubbish, yeah.
And the people who made it should be
no, I'm not saying
maimed.
That.
Should
you
be
know,
maimed.
You should try to do new things rather than always doing...
What do you mean should happen to the people who made it?
No, they can carry on, you know.
Well, should they be reprimanded in any way?
No, that people should just, you know, see their film the appropriate amount. That's the system we've already got in place, and it nearly works.
You're saying that we exist in a functioning meritocracy?
It's sort of, yes. And that's why superhero films are so popular. anyway, it's interesting, this film, because they've tried to do something and make a sci-fi-ish film have a greater emotional significance for and be all about the characters and the pain they're going through and all of this. But it doesn't quite fly because at the end of the day, it's like, what would it be like to feel true emotions when you're going through a situation that will never happen? You're just like, well, I don't care. Ultimately, it's slow and doesn't really mean anything.
Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with a friend.
Did they enjoy it?
They found it the same as me, a bit slow. It's sort of fine. It's fine. I still now do not know why it's called Midnight Special. That sounds like a sort of...
It's a good name for a film.
A deal in a diner for truckers. After midnight, coffee is free. Something like that. I've no idea why it's called that. Maybe it's trying to evoke Midnight Run. It does sort of homage other things. There's a bit of E.T. in there, and there's a bit of, you know, lots of different stuff thrown in.
Oh, you put me off it now. I was looking forward to that.
It's a bit of a mess, I'm afraid, and it is very slow.
Oh, crikey.
And in the end, I didn't really care. The chase bits are done superbly well. When, you know, the tension is on and the pressure is on them and they have to, you know, keep going and escape. That's all done brilliantly, but they're sort of few and far between. And the bits in between are just too slow for this genre. At the end of the day, the story it's telling doesn't mean very much, and it's basically taking about 2 hours to tell a mediocre X-Files episode. You know, just take a random X-Files episode and then take twice as long to tell it. Mm. And that's basically what you've got here. Everyone in it is very good in it. You know, the kid actor's even very good in it, but I don't really know why I'm supposed to care.
Sometimes you can have all the ingredients, all the right ideas,
yeah,
and then you end up killing someone.
Has that happened often to you? Has that happened?
Do you think, Gorn?
You end up killing someone with the
directing? Well, no, but I'm saying one.
One can.
I'm painting a scenario.
You're doing a lot of painting at the moment.
Yes, I'm very good at painting. I'm painting things white.
Yeah.
Blanking out the past.
Whitewashing.
The whitewasher.
Yeah.
I was going to call myself the history destroyer, but it's not as good as the whitewasher.
The whitewasher. That's a good...
The bumming man. And then he, the arch villain, for regular listeners, of whom are dwindling by the day.
Who's the arch villain of the bumming man?
The whitewasher.
Not the bleacher.
Listen, do your own bloody film.
I'm going to.
The bleach is better as well. Oh.
We can do a co-pro. We'll work a deal out. Yeah.
He's trying to wipe out Bumming Man's memory.
with his psychic bleach.
And the Bumming Man, all he knows is that the Bumming Man has to... The last person he bummed... He left something.
The only way he can get his memories back is to bum the last person he bummed.
He is lost. He needs to... The Bumming Man's going to be destroyed and his memory is in the DNA he left in someone else's bum. But the bleacher is...
Makes sense.
The bleacher is cleaning out the bum.
Bleacher. So it's a race against time to recover his memory and therefore his own identity.
Yeah, he's bummed a lot of people, the Bowman Man, but the beach is gone and he's cleaned off all evidence of them. And the Bowman Man, his memories...
I mean, what will he have left?
You know, in Back to the Future, when their memories are going slowly...
Yeah, fading
his memories,
away.
The Bowman Man's memory.
Oh, no.
No one's done a film like this before.
No, I mean, it sounds like he's got Alzheimer's, to be honest.
It's a bit like that, but he could do something about it.
Yeah.
As a superhero film, I'm going to start writing this.
Okay. The bleacher. You can have that.
That's... Would you like to play the bleacher?
I'd quite like to, as long as I don't genuinely have to bleach anyone.
You've got to bleach people as arseholes.
Is that all the job is? Does he speak at
That's
all?
That's what his job is. Originally, he is bleaching someone's arsehole.
Yeah.
And he catches a disease from that and he becomes a superhero power.
But a crazed one.
Yeah.
He bleaches his own mind.
He bleaches people's minds by sticking his finger in their arses.
That's different, but okay. That's a different thing.
You want to play that character.
This role has changed very quickly.
He's allowed to wear white. He wears white gloves. I see him as very.
Oh, I'd like to wear some white gloves.
Very pasty faced.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just puts his finger inside people. I've ruined this.
You're just going to cast Benedict Cumberbatch because I think he's perfect for the role.
He'd be quite good as the Bleacher, but he just plays exactly the same as everything else that he does. Yeah. And I've ruined the whole any sense of this podcast being some. I can't even speak.
Oh, okay. Well, we've actually talked about two whole films there, Marek. We've got through it. Three, including the Bombing Man v Bleacher.
Why not tell us if you want to hear more about the Bombing Man or less?
That would be good. Just email us with more Bombing Man or less Bombing Man.
Or if you would like this podcast to be solely about the discussion of the Bombing Man, and we could all write it together as this project, and if anyone is still listening, those people buy tickets.
Yeah.
And maybe enough for half a... Oh, this is what I was going to say.
What?
The Picture House are doing a thing where you can pick a film
and put it on a day
and get a screening. And we could do a Film Fandango version of that if
we
want to watch a film.
It's basically like crowdfunding a cinema screening by everyone buying the tickets before it exists. So as long as you get enough people saying they're booked in to come see it on that night...
You could pick a cinema and then go to the bar afterwards and get drunk and see everyone.
That's a good idea. I mean, you should have talked to me about it before we were recording, because now we can't do anything about it. But we'll talk about it afterwards.
No, but I thought of it as... I didn't really think of it at all.
Yeah.
I just thought of it then.
Oh, right, okay. Well, let's talk about it after we stop recording, so they don't need to listen to this conversation.
Yeah, sorry. Bye.
We'll talk about that. That's exciting. I like that idea. We should do that. We should do that. Okay, we're going to go away and do that. But in the meantime, please, for the love of God, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.